Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for kickoffs and kick-ons.
Yes, greetings, Rugby Union public, and welcome to the Coco Show. Yes, it's kickoffs and kick-ons, the show that is changing the world, to be honest. Changing lives and changing Australian rugby. Last week I reported that the Australian teams, they'd won 41% of games against New Zealand. Well, guess what, fuckers? After the weekend, we're up to 43.5%. Bang, bang, Reds.
Ayo.
Bang, bang, Force.
Ayo.
Ayo.
Ayo. Coco. So,
Let's bring in the rugby union players, shall we? A man who claims to be 2% body fat and will not get out of bed for anything less than 25% commission. It's Matt Giddo. Gets.
Hey, that's a nice intro.
Thank you, mate. A man who is 50% human and with the right lighting conditions, 50% horse. It's Drew Mitchell. Drew.
Hey-o.
Jesus Christ. Get the pixelator in. And a man who went on holidays is 110%, but on this show only contributes about 10%. It's Adam Ashley Cooper.
Swoop.
Welcome. Piss off, Prof.
Piss off yourself, mate. Let's start with you, Goit. You're down in Canberra today, mate. And, geez, the logo behind you on the screen looks great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it took me a while. And with the help from Drew, with the contrast and brightness, got it all working. But yeah, I'm good. In Canberra, went to Gold Coast for 5-6 days. See my wife's brother, family.
And who's that?
Cousins and Lance. Went and saw Lance.
Lance who?
Lance Franklin.
Oh, you fucking name dropper.
Oh, buddy, is it?
He's not a name anymore. He's done.
Mate, you sent a little clip. He's now playing social basketball and he does some good work in the paint, bud.
How tall is buddy?
I think he'd be 6'7", maybe. But yeah, he was dominating. It could have been about fifth grade, sixth grade, maybe basketball. But he loved it. He MVP, he reckons, most points. He had a lot of fun. It was good.
Very good. Now, boys, you two got together on the weekend, I believe, to watch a friend of yours go around. Bit of a return to superb rugby for a mate of yours.
Yeah, we did. Swoop invited me over to his place. He said he'll invite me over. We had a couple of beers, a little whiskey. He said he'd get dinner. We didn't eat. So I'm actually a little malnourished. Thanks, Swoop.
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, mate, just trying to cut out some calories, and I thought he could benefit from it too. But but no, it was good. Yeah, it was good to have Drew around. Helped me put his godson down.
Yeah.
Did that make sense?
No, it did. Your son is his godson.
That's right.
And you guys
put him down to bed. We didn't put him down. Sorry, he's not like a dog.
Certainly didn't put him down that way. But he got down eventually, and then we were able to sit back and relax and watch the Force put on an absolute show against the Crusaders. And KB, I mean, we're absolutely pumped and stoked for KB to get back out there and have a big influence on the game.
And I believe he hasn't spoken to any media, but is there a show that he might be talking to today?
Look, there's every chance that we're going to be having the exclusive chat to KB later in the show.
Stop it.
Yeah.
We are the number one stop for all your rugby union needs. hey, it's getting warm in here. I don't know. Is this aircon fixed, Hugo, or what? Can you? Yeah. I just need to.
Oh. The thief.
Oh, here he is.
Is that
Montclair?
Montclair. Right? Just a cheeky $600 t-shirt.
Yeah. You didn't buy that, did you?
Nah, yeah, I did. Yeah. I got the receipt.
Mate, there's one place you don't steal, it's China.
Quick story, real quick. Swoop might have found an expensive shirt on
in
the
its
way
packaging.
To China.
Oh, that's the one.
That's the one.
And luckily for me, it didn't fit Swoop.
Yeah.
And I stupidly put it in the wash with the tags on because I was going to flog it, but I forgot.
Well, and also, yeah, just a quick one. We went to China as well when we were over in Hong Kong, over to Macau. We'll probably talk about that at some point in coming episodes, but Troy Hickox, he really sorted us out.
He did. Oh, I mean, it was deserted. Yeah.
I don't know if he wanted to promote that.
Oh, right. It's the day of the week. Hey, merchandise plug. You last week did it. Plug.
We're on fire, aren't we?
We got the giggles early today. I don't know what's going on. Who did the merchandise plug last
time?
You did Swoop. Merchandise plug. Where can they get it? What's happened? How many have we sold?
Well, you can't get it at all because it's sold out again.
No, it hasn't.
No, hasn't it? No. No, you can still get it.
Here we go. Just read that red there.
Sure. The shirts are back in stock and are selling fast. They went crazy over the weekend, Prof. Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Shirts went back on sale on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have been flying off the shelves. Link below to get them.
Mm. Very good. Here. Some bad news, though, for the thickies.
We're sold out of the big ones, aren't we?
Sold out of the thickies.
Jeez, there must be a lot of big fuckers out there.
Big shakes.
There's a lot of big fuckers that watch our show.
Well, it's just because it seems like I bought a few. Won't need them now after I don't eat. Swoop doesn't feed me.
Now, obviously last week, who did the socials? That was you, Swoop. Hey, Goit, you want to take the socials this week?
Would love to. You can find us everywhere. We're TikTok, X, Instagram, all that stuff, YouTube. And are YouTube different? Everything else, it's Kickoff and Kick-Ons, is it?
No, Kick-Offs, Kick-Ons.
Listen, I don't know what's going on. You can follow us, but where do they find us, Prof?
Kick-Offs, Kick-Ons for everything except for YouTube, Kick-Offs and Kick-Ons. It's absolutely flying. YouTube, we're up to about 15,000 subscribers, so no plugs for me, sadly. And then Insta, what are we, 16.1, old? Give me a thumb up. 16.1.
Well, the secret with that is if you follow us and subscribe, you don't have to search us thereafter. You know, we're in your timeline.
Makes sense.
Right. Saving. Hey, social snitches. Now, a little member of the show last week pointed out that every single week it's Biv.
Yeah.
Good news for you, Biv.
Yeah, nice feed up this week.
Yep, the little man that pointed it out. Somebody has sent a doozy in about Goitan.
Oh, you ripper.
Please humour me on this. This is a little bit of a read. I timed it out. It's 2 minutes 22 if I actually read it correctly. So obviously, let me just get the goggles on here. Let me get the porn glasses on.
Oh, and mate, you could have had them out of the bag.
Oh, no, I apologise. Okay, so somebody sent us this on our DMs, Goitan. Get ready for this one. I have an embarrassing story to tell. Sorry, this is from Josh. I have an embarrassing story to tell and an apology to make to Gits. In 2011, I was an ambitious 16-year-old playing for my school's third 15 Belfast Royal Academy in a plate final against a rival school in Belfast. This is 14 years ago. As was very much the fashion at the time, I appealed to some of my favourite rugby players for some good wishes on Twitter. The usual sort of, hey, mate, we are playing our plate final this weekend. Can we get a good luck message, etc. As a passionate overseas force and Wallabies fan, I got some great messages from the likes of Senator Pocock, Nathan Sharp, and some fella called Matt Gitto. Well, my appeal to Gits's generous nature met with success, and he duly responded with a good luck message. Thrilled to bits, I thought, fantastic, we're bound to win. Gits, however, obviously had his curiosity piqued, because I woke up the next day to a confusing series of notifications. Gitto Rugby has followed you, followed by Gitto Rugby has blocked you, followed by Gitto Rugby has followed you, followed by you have received a direct message from Gitto Rugby. Then Gitto Rugby has blocked you. So perhaps uncharitably, I had provided a running commentary on my Twitter account of some of the Wallabies games that year, including what I can only assume was perhaps an unfavourable review of Gitz's performances. In my defence, I was 16, I loved the Wallabies and just wanted to see them at their best. Possibly still hurt at his abandonment of my beloved Western Force, I may have slated Gitz to all and sundry. Anyway, he sent me the following message, which I have screenshotted and attached below. Well, hold on here, Tommy. This will be the big finale. We'll bring up that message in a sec. I was so ashamed of myself that I deleted my Twitter account and disavowed myself of every criticizing rugby player on the socials for all time. I couldn't even reach out to apologize to him as I'd been blocked. I buried my head, tried to focus on the game that weekend. Fortunately, we won 19-0, but despite the sweetness of our victory, the bitter taste of having let down my beloved Gitz haunted me. In retrospect, it is a fucking hilarious to think that Gitz was sitting in his pants, scrolling through my 16-year-old self tweets, got pissed, blocked me, then thought better of it, unblocked me just to send me a DM wishing me the worst. Then promptly blocked me again. Let's take a look at the tweet it's now. Ruthless. Here we go. This is what he sent. Check tweets. Hope you get flogged in your game.
Good honesty.
Yeah. Gitz, do you remember this encounter with Josh from Ireland?
No, mate. I was so nervous throughout that whole reading that you were doing. I didn't know where it was going. No, I don't know that. Yeah, I don't even remember that.
So you've obviously, what's happened
what
is...
What a bad press.
So you've gone back and scrolled through his tweets and found that he was having a crack
maybe
at the Wallabies.
Just,
or you...
If I followed him, it must have gone on my timeline. I don't know why I followed a 16-year-old boy, though. Like,
yeah, mate, you can almost get a knock on the door if you do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm glad he won. I'm glad he didn't get flogged. And I'm glad that he's given up writing reviews.
Very good. Gets that with social snitches. Send in kickoffs, kick ons. That was a particular
one. I like it.
One.
I like it.
I know why you like it.
Yeah.
Because you're exactly the same. Someone has a crack at you on Twitter.
I'm not a blocker, though. I've not blocked anyone.
Well, you reply.
Yeah, I reply to them.
Give
you
2 cents worth.
Wait a minute, Drew.
I've never
you're
blocked.
A liar.
You never blocked?
Never
you're
blocked
a
anyone.
Because you say that I like it because I can wind them up, I'll have a crack at them, and then I just block them. And they can't get back to you.
Thank you.
Honestly, I'll get my phone out now. There's zero people blocked.
I don't know how we do this.
No, I can inbox them because they follow me, but I don't follow them. That's why I just go into the DMs.
All right, what we'll do is in the break for the next week, I'll go through all your Twitter accounts and I'll check if they've been blocked and I'll report back to your Gitz. You'll be in San Diego by then, won't you?
I will be, yes.
Okay, very good. How did they go on the weekend, the Legion? Did they get a win?
They lost this morning. First time they've lost at Snapdragon, 33-32 to Utah, unfortunately.
Oh, Utah, give me two.
Yeah.
Two meatball sandwiches.
Is that why you're going over early, Goit?
No. Last week I told you I was already going over, so, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, here comes the saviour in business class, the chariot.
No.
Very good.
Turning right.
Yeah, oh, you turn right three times.
I wish. Which yeah, three right, times, right. You're right.
Right, left. He's flying the plane. That's fantastic. Hey, let's get into this podcast. People want to know. Superb rugby.
Mm.
Another split round. You know I love a split round. Yeah. Over the weekend, lots took place. Let's start with the Hurricanes defeating the Drua. That's the first time the Drua have lost this year in Fiji. Hurricanes defeated them 38-15. Full crowd. Would you describe that as a boutique stadium there, Gitz, or is that just a...
It's definitely Suba. Boutique. Yeah, no, it sits into the boutique area. The weather, though, every time, last couple of weeks there, it's just been horrendous to play. But they look like a really hard team to beat at home, the Drua. Hurricanes, it took everything, the full 80 minutes, I think, to get that victory.
Yeah, one thing that I heard over the weekend, Greg Clark, who does the commentary for the Drua home games, he said that most teams go over there to try and slow the game down when they play against the Drua at home, whereas the Hurricanes seem to just go over there and try and lift the tempo and play at pace and it served them well. I mean, I think also the Drua probably hurt, having two of their players suspended from that Rebels game, Lomani and the reserve hooker as well. So, they're a tough side to beat, but geez, the Hurricanes, they're in some form.
So talking to me about this 19-year-old debutante, Izakili Rabatu for the Drua. Did you see it? He scored the try 10 minutes in. I mean, that's a positive for them. He was very good.
Yeah.
I know as much as you. He's got an epic mullet. Did you see him? He played very well.
Didn't see him.
Okay, fantastic. He's someone to watch out for. Did you catch him, Biv?
Also didn't see him. Fantastic. We're on a flight on Friday. We're actually up at BBC Rugby Lunch up there at BBC. This is the jersey here. They've got a great program up there, doing some great things, not just for the kids on the field, not just the first 15, but the whole rugby program there. It's
And the Indigenous community. Talk about a program.
Is this cash for comment?
No, it wasn't. I was just really impressed by it.
Yeah.
Ran into Lorte Tunkiri and Digby Gowane and James Hansen, Chiba the Beast.
That's right.
A couple of former Wallabies. And Roger Gould, actually.
Roger Gould, Dan Leo.
Yeah.
There you go.
Talk about
you talk about name dropping.
Yeah,
mate,
I know.
Mate, let's drop a few more names. Mate, what about that program and all the coaches that got around? Mm. Brad Thorne.
Petrus Duplessis. Dan Leo.
Ben Meehan.
Dumper. Mate,
Dumper
McGann.
We're going to cut this out. This is so boring.
Hey, Gibbs, did you see the 19-year-old fly half as a man that was probably at one stage 19 and a fly half?
Mate, no one saw him. Move on
to
the next.
For sake, he was brilliant.
Yeah, he was. He was very good.
Thank you.
I think also the way he played to the weather conditions, some smart kicks there. They also know, I reckon the Drua know where the big puddles are, where they can kick the ball and it's just going to stop dead. They got a knack for find those spots.
Find the big puddles. Next week, they take on Moana Pacifica, which one of our producers, Ollie's going up there. He's doing 36 hours in Fiji.
Wow.
He said it's the best game to go and watch, Drua Moana. What'd you say? It's the most colourful game in rugby? Absolutely, he's saying. So just avoid Ollie if you see him. Hey, big news, though, for the coach of the Drua, Mick Byrne, who you obviously gave him a barbecue.
We sent him a beef eater, yeah.
New Fiji coach, which is very exciting for him.
Flying Fijians. He's going to take over the reins of the international 15-a-side side. So, Mick Byrne, we trained underneath him. He was part of the coaching staff at the 2015 World Cup. Mick the kick. He's obviously great with the skill stuff, but he's doing some great things with the Drua side, and that's been acknowledged to get the head coaching role. So good on Mick the kick.
And how long do you pick a fight with him on Twitter?
I like Mick the kick. Actually, I like everyone involved in Fiji rugby.
Well, this is what I'm getting to. So over the break, we sat down with Simon Ralui, who you famously had a bit of a Twitter to and fro.
It was a misunderstanding. Yeah.
And we have that chat available on YouTube. It's going to drop this week. So
perfect.
It was a great chat. I was there with you.
I was a bit nervous going into it. Wasn't sure whether he'd accept the beer or throw it on me. But it all went well.
It did go well. He's a large man, and I understand why you were afraid, but it was a great chat. Make sure you check that out. Reds, 31, defeated the Highlanders. Donut. Amazing.
Absolute shutout.
Yeah. And I want to quote, it was a rugby pass here, and I like this. No McWright, no McDermott, no McWorries for the Reds. Oh, isn't that great? Yeah.
And if McDonald's want to sponsor us.
Good shout.
You know where to reach.
Or McDowell's, either one. Swoop, did you catch this one?
Yeah, it was a great turnaround from the Reds. We caught most of the second half, but we caught some highlights in the first on the way home. We're in the airport, back from Brisbane, BBC, lunch, very good.
BBC?
Well, Hunter Paisami was very strong through the middle. It's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what...
Do they know about that?
They certainly know about it.
So that's what's in Swoop's NORP search.
That old hard drive. It was a strong performance because obviously there were some concerns with two of their key players out. Like you said before, McWright, McDermott. But, no McWorries, Prof.
I thought they defended really well in their own line. There was a number of times where the Highlanders were pressuring them, multiple phases, defending their lineouts 5 metres out, turning them over and then getting out of their red zone. So, yeah, it was a pretty complete performance and like Sweep said, a good turnaround.
I did like that a few times they cut to the naughty corner. I don't know if you're watching the coverage, and they cut to McDermott, who was dressed very nicely, and then McWright not so much.
I didn't really like his outfit. You said he was dressed nicely, but that big coat a little too big.
The coat was too big, did you think?
I think so.
Did you like the beige colour though?
No, I think maybe that's what I liked, and it actually did fit him all right, but it was the beige colour.
Might have been the beige. Next week they take on the Blues.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game.
It is, yeah.
Where is that?
Somebody give me a location.
In New Zealand.
Eden Park. Now, I wanted to... Well, I'll ask you about that in a sec. Let's move on. So, Saturday... It's at Suncorp, sorry.
Go on, Tommy.
Tommy, you're an idiot. Blues 46 defeated the Brumbies 7. I guess we ask Gits why.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like I've picked up the mocking genes from Drew. I picked so many in the Wallabies team last week. Went over there. I thought they started super well. Like the first 5 minutes, they made a nice break. They had an opportunity to score. The Blues scrambled well, but then from 5 minutes onwards, the Blues were just so dominant.
Eden Park. Talk to me about playing at Eden Park. So you've played there a lot. Is it the worst place for an Aussie to go and play rugby?
It's not the worst. I mean, it's a fantastic venue.
The weather was terrible.
Right? The weather, yeah. I mean, it's always 50-50 there, and they can certainly play a role. But, I mean, it's just the conditions are that you're facing a hostile crowd. It's a tough travel. And you're usually up against some quality teams, whether it's the Blues or the All Blacks. So it's a tough ask.
Yeah, that's the thing. Right? Everyone talks about this Eden Park hoodoo, like it's the field or it's the facilities. Like, it's not that. It's just you're playing against bloody good teams when you get there. That's the issue. Like, the Blues are firing. Like, they've got X factor out wide. They've got guys that do the grunt work in the midfield and also within their tight five. Their set piece is solid. Like, that's why it's so bloody hard to win at Eden Park at the moment and has been previously, because they've just put out good teams.
Couple of friends of the pods.
See the just one thing, Prof. Mm. Did anyone see that? It could have been their second try off the scrum play. It was just 8-9 hitting Caleb Clark flat right at the 10, like 2 meters out. I'm not sure what Noah or what anyone could do, but that he's just a beast. I know we had him on the pod last week, but he was enormous.
I was about to say this, that it was a bit of a mixed bag for friends of the pod in that game, because obviously you had Caleb, who was dominating, friend of the pod, and then poor old Slips, friend of the pod. So
yellow card,
got the cheese.
Yeah, saw some cheese. It was probably a bit of a tactical bit of experience from him just to get a 10-minute break.
10-minute breather. So he's still in your Wallabies 15. Is Slips still in there, boys, at number 3?
Yeah, you can't change it after 1 week. Like, I'm not a bandwagon man like yourself, Prof. I stick solid.
No, he's bang on. That's his bandwagon, which is why I go for the Force now. Good on there. And by the way, last week we did the Wallabies 15. We picked halfway Wallabies based on, I mean, your expertise, but also what's taken place in the Superb Rugby so far. Mixed reviews.
Yeah, but it's always going to be the way.
What do you mean mixed reviews? Talk to me. What's the feedback been?
Apparently, you're a Brumbies hater.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, a lot of people saying,
I love the Brumbies. I lived down there for 8 years.
But yeah, you left.
There's a way you left.
Apparently, also, we're Rebels haters. But we got two Rebels in there.
Yeah, we got the Bomber.
The Bomber and Kellaway.
Yeah, it's difficult. But what I want to say, guys, at any stage, if you wanted to swap someone out, obviously, Gits isn't swap and slipper, et cetera, et cetera. I can bring the whiteboard back in and we can make an exchange.
So it's a fluid team.
It is.
Until the Super Rugby final.
That's right. So nothing's locked in. So if at any stage you want to make any changes, go for your life. All right. Hey, Force 37 defeated the Crusaders 15. First time in 11 years the Force have beaten the Crusaders. Mm. For the Crusaders, they could go from premiers to wooden spooners, which has never happened in the history of Superb Rugby. What do you reckon? Will they be the cellar dwellers?
Well, I think you can probably put a line through them in terms of playoffs this year. I mean, even though you can literally trip over and make the finals and top eight in a 12-team competition. But, I mean, it was just more the way it looked like they just had no answers to the Force. Like, once they kind of got some dominance and started to get a bit of, I guess, clear air on the scoreboard, the Crusaders just looked dejected. They looked like they didn't have any answers, eh? So
that's right. I mean, you could see by the body language. I mean, the defence of the Force was outstanding. They were getting off the line for 80 minutes with some really good line speed, good connection. They were playing on the edge at the defensive ruck, but all just playing like the menace that they played at the ruck had a big impact on the game. And like Drew said, like the Crusaders struggled to come up with the answers. You could see that they were trying to play with the football, trying to use the width, trying to get it into the attacking hands, but the Force were just, smothering them in D. Like it was a huge effort.
Now, gets Sam Carter and Kirtley Beale into that Force side. Could this turn their season around?
Well, I think so. You hear any of the comments after the game? Not so much. Obviously, the big talking point was Kirtley Beale coming back. Sam Carter, he added a lot to the team, but a lot of the questions were around Kirtley, like, how'd it feel out there? What's he like? every player came back with his ability, how much he talks, how much confidence he gives the guys, communication, like, throughout that game will only help everyone on the team. But I reckon it'll make Ben Donaldson's game go to another level.
Yeah.
I thought he played really well. Having another ball player outside you that can give you that voice, so you don't really need to look any further out. You just look what's in front of you and then trust your voice if you've got someone like Kirtley outside. So, yeah, I think they're going to make a huge difference.
That's the biggest thing for me. Like, I think there were a lot of questions around Kirtley. 12 months out of the game, everyone was questioning what type of impact he'd have. You know, was he thrown in too quickly? Has he still got it? Has he lost speed? The one thing you can't measure is the impact that he has with his voice. Like, absolutely loves controlling the boys around him, has a lot of experience to share. And in the moment, there's no one better, particularly when KB's on. What he can see is far beyond what anyone else can see on the football field. He's just got this incredible ability to see where the space is, how to communicate that space, and then get the ball in the hands of the attacking player to attack the space.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the best performance we've seen from Ben Donaldson as well. So, excuse me, that beer went down the wrong hole. I think he looked so assured, Dono, because maybe what Giddy was talking about, he had other options outside him, and those were communicated through the voice of Kirtley and others as well. But I also thought the return of Isaac Rodder. I don't think he's played in maybe 18 months, I think I heard. And he ended up playing 70 minutes because Franklin went off early and they weren't sure if he was going to be able to play out the game 70 just because he hadn't played in so long. But he was pretty immense in terms of the physicality, his ball carrying, his set piece work. So, like, some really handy inclusions at a pretty crucial time, because I think they probably need probably four out of the last seven and they're in through to the playoffs.
Well, great news for the Force. Should we speak to KB? Should we? Now, yeah, what's about to happen here? It's 3:30 in the afternoon. It's 5 to 4. Now, we're thinking we're getting Kirtley at 6. Now, so what would I'm throwing to Kirtley in the future? Is that what's happening here?
I don't know.
But then in the event that we don't get Kirtley, we apologise in advance. Here's Kirtley Beale.
All right, KB, mate. Personally, mate, it was just so good to see you back out there playing in Super Rugby in new colours. And they suit you well. Western Force colours. Mate, how do you feel a couple of days after the game, after playing your first game of Super Rugby in a very long time?
It's great to be back. Literally yesterday, I feel like I've been hit by a truck. But we had a bit of a move around today, a bit of a tai chi, bit of a walk through the plays for going into the week against the Highlanders. But just focus on recovery now, Brett. You got to get the body right.
And so KB, obviously physically it took its toll, but what about just emotionally? We saw, you know, a really special moment in the dressing sheds with Simon Cromwell when you had your cap presentation. You got a little bit choked up, but how do you feel about where you're at and the opportunity you've got?
Yeah, it was, I guess the opportunity was a long time coming, and, I was just really, really grateful that Cronny, gave me the opportunity, and, having Maddie there, KJ, and her sister and her little family was there as well. It was just a really nice moment for me and my family. I didn't really think it was going to happen, but, we just didn't know if it was going to happen. So it was just great to be able to actually just share that moment with my family. And, I got a bit choked up, but, I'm just so happy to be back.
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment. You spoke about it being a long time coming, more than 12 months out of the game. What were the pre-game nerves like? You know, because obviously spending a bit of time out of the game, 1 week, 2 week for an old bull like yourself, you're no young bull anymore, Brett. It takes its toll. How were you feeling in the lead up to that game? You know, what were your focuses? What was your mindset? Any anxiety, any concerns? Take us through the week.
Yeah, a lot of anxiety, plenty of nerves. Probably up until the kickoff, when I got my first touch. But leading into the week, I had a bit of an injury scare, like a hemi scare. I was a bit probably did too much kicking on the Friday, so my groin was kind of playing up and niggling. But it was good. I kind of understood where I was in terms of feeling. But it was probably just the excitement levels, right? Just bit neural. Just a big week in terms of getting detail down across as well. But that was all good. The boys were kind of looked after me there, and same as Crono. So, I was just embracing it.
Giddy, your Wi-Fi's, we can't hear.
Yeah.
He's blowing up. Sorry, KB. Giddy's Wi-Fi.
Giddy, try now. I think you're okay now. Try now.
Nah, you're no good. We're going to have to leave you behind there, Goy.
Yeah, good.
Oh, poor bastard.
KB, let me ask you, obviously Western Force, great rugby club. When you come over there, do they tell you the story of Drew Mitchell and Matt Giddo and what they meant to the Western Force?
Yeah, well, they were the stalwarts, right? They got us up and running. They always touch on the history of the club. And those guys were the guys that paved the way for a lot of the junior guys coming through now at the club. So, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what is a bit of a sore spot for me, Curtly. Just over your left shoulder, there's a jersey in the frame and there's a logo for Firepower. They still owe me about 700K. So if you can find them, get them in a little headlock there, Brett, and give them a noogie for me.
Is there any photos of the boy? Is that a photo? Are they in that photo behind you, Curtly?
There is a photo. I mean, I don't know how. I'm going to try and how's this going?
So if you're listening, Curtly is currently moving his camera closer to a photo. We'll be able to find you in there.
Can you point something?
Oh, just put your
finger for the frosted tips. I think you had frosted tips back then.
Yeah, just point your finger on where we are.
Where's who's that?
That's Giddy.
And there's Drew.
Yeah, good long.
A lot of peroxide in the hair there. That's...
Lots of peroxide. Matt Henjack in the middle as well with plenty of peroxide. KB, just talk to us about the actual footy when you're out there. We've touched on it. You've been out for a little while. Like, what was the speed like? What did you feel? You know, how did you feel sort of being in the moment?
Yeah, it was challenging. I thought the physicality of the game, it's quite brutal. And I guess the speed, in attack, you're kind of under pressure a lot more with at this level, the defense is kind of in your face, pressuring you to make a decision. And, once I got used to that, kind of understood what was going on around me, I was able to kind of adjust. And, definitely a big pickup from Shoot Shield. But, once I had my first touch and first involvement, I felt like it all came back to me.
Billo, Swoop, mate, in the post-match, Dono /
how many nicknames have you got? And he's got 15. What did you just say? Whatever, you just toss up.
Oh, yeah. We've got plenty of names for each other.
Yeah,
sorry, as you were.
KB, in the post match, the commentary was speaking to Ben Donaldson, Nick White, and they were speaking about your comms throughout the game, but also in the weeks lead up. Can you give us a little bit of insight? You know, take us into the game around those comms. You know, what kind of, if there's a structure in your comms, or it's just a natural behaviour of yours, you know, once you're in the game, you know, take us through some of the communication that you have with other players around you.
Yeah, I'll probably learn a few boys, to be honest, how important communication is and just having micro chats with your combinations. And it's key for cohesion. It's key for combinations, understanding what you want from each other. And I guess when I first got in here, I went straight up to Dono. I went straight up to the centres, got the back three together, just kind of having those micro chats around, their roles in the team and just specific details and letting them know how I think and getting them to see different pictures that we did at training. I kind of need that for my own game to kind of get an understanding of what they're thinking in those moments or if something kind of pops out into defense, you know, what are they seeing? And so constantly I'm just communicating and having connections. And, you know, you don't want to be going out on the pitch and not talking to each other. And I think, you know, it's beneficial if you're constantly connecting through communications, micro chats and constantly just, being on the same page, which kind of helps you go out there and deliver.
KB, I noticed that post-match you weren't on the coverage. Is it true that you told them that you have an exclusive deal with Kickoffs and Kick-Ons and that it's the number one rugby show in the world and that's the only people you will talk to? Is that right?
That's right, boys. Save the best for you, boys.
Oh, I love that. KB, what about settling in with the fam, Maddie and little KJ? You've gone across to the Perth. You're now enjoying sunsets instead of sunrises. Like, how are you guys settling in?
Yeah, settling really nicely. We're kind of just down at Cot there next to the beach, which is really nice. You know, makes it a little bit easier with the transition. Maddie, she loves the ocean. She loves the water. She loves the early morning rises with the little fella. And we're very lucky in that sense. And, so it's just making it a little bit easier, kind of pretty similar to what we have back at home in Sydney. So,
Bilo, you're all about early bird gets the worm, right? And Drew just mentioned you've gone from sunrise to sunsets, and you just said you're down in the cot, but usually you're in the cot by 5 o'clock. So have you caught a sunset yet?
Yeah. No, definitely. But it's like that. It's you know, we're very lucky in that sense. You kind of, it's just so beautiful. It's always sunny, blue skies. It's the sun setting. Go for a late arvo dip. I saw Gits, you were down at Cot, weren't you? Oh, you can't hear Gits.
Yeah, he's a non-contributor, yep. Mate. Yeah,
he's giving the thumbs up. Yeah. We can get that. He can't hear you.
He can hear us though.
Yeah, he can hear us.
Yeah. No, but it's beautiful down there, mate. I'm working myself up to do more ocean swimming. We've just got to try and make sure that there's no sharks in the nets down there at Cot.
Honestly, you can't go too deep out there at Cottesloe in WA. The water's that cold, great white sharks are just lurking. They'd love you, Ben.
No, I'll look like a seal out
there. Well, I didn't want to say it.
But Mads and I love it down there. We get out there and do our morning ocean swims and... It's beautiful.
Hey, Bilo, swoop again.
yeah, he knows.
Because Gits is on mute, or he's having a couple of Wi-Fi issues. He should be at the Shell, but he's not. He's in his garage, his home gym with the plumbing hanging out of the walls. Anyway, he wanted to know, what he really wanted to know was, is a hot dog a sandwich? Stumped him.
What?
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
There you go.
No, it's not a hot.
What do you think?
Well, I don't think it is because it's only one piece of bread.
Is it a sausage roll?
It's a roll. It's in a roll.
Well, then it's not a sandwich.
No, it's in a bun.
It's a roll, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be a roll.
God, it's a bloody good question.
Yeah.
I'm going to change tack to another question.
Yeah.
So, KB, you... ticked a goal in coming back and playing Shoot Shield. You've ticked another on the weekend playing Super Rugby. Natural progression, next one, playing in the Wallaby Gold. Is that what you're hoping for at some point down the line?
Yeah, for sure, mate. I guess I've kind of spoke to you guys about it, you and Swoop, and get to that fact. Just in my ambition to be able to achieve a few more goals in the game. I think sitting on 95 caps at the moment, to be able to get to 100 and be the first Indigenous Australian to be able to make it to that illustrious club would be an absolute honour and a huge achievement. But I understand there's a long way to that at the moment. I've just got to make sure I'm playing my footy here well at the Force and doing my job and having the impact and influence that I know I can and consistently doing that. I think the big word is consistently. And if I can do that and make sure the body's going good, then I'll give myself every chance. So, it's kind of part of the purpose of getting up every morning and making sure that I'm doing everything I can to achieve that. But I understand, it's a day at a time, week at a time, game at a time process. And, yeah, I'll just put all my intentions and effort into that.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall.
whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And hopefully I'll be able to, yeah, give it a crack.
Billo, swoop again. Mate, you just said, I mean, and we'd love to see you back in gold. There'd be nothing better. Mm. But you know, we've got a whiteboard here, and it's called the Halfway Wallabies. Now that you've been on the pod, you are now a friend of the pod, you know, which means we could slot you in if you want it early.
Where are you
if you want it
in?
Early, mate, we've got you. You want some? You want to get on that board?
Are you getting rid of Kellaway? Because he's a friend of the
board.
No,
he's not. Well, he wasn't my selection, so I can't get rid of him. And I wouldn't either. We love Kellaway.
So who are you getting rid of? The bomber? Where are you putting him?
I'm not putting him anywhere. I'm just throwing it.
So what are you doing, Swoop? I don't understand what your question
was. No, we're not doing anything. Oh,
let's put him on there.
Let's get him on there.
Curtly Bill. Get rid of Andrew Kellaway.
16.
No, not 16.
No. Okay.
Slash KB.
Congratulations. You've just made it into the kickoffs and kick-ons. Halfway Wallabies. It's almost better than the real Wallabies. There you go. Hey, KB, we better let you go. Has anybody else got anything
for
KB?
Yeah, I mean, I've sent this to KB, communicated, but I just want to say publicly, mate, I'm just super proud of you. I know that, you know, you've been through a hell of a lot, you and your family as well, but super proud to see the way you've gone about things, the way you've come back, and the way you play it as well, mate. Like, I was super proud. Swoop and I shared a little single malt and toasted to you when we were watching you play. But, mate, we love you. And, who would have thought a year ago sitting here talking to you in this scenario? Like, it's just amazing, mate. We're really, really happy for you.
Thanks, BB. Appreciate it, bro. Thank you.
And also, you've been nominated for Super Rugby Player of the Round as well. So you've got at least 8-9 votes here in the room. So let's get KB to Super Rugby Player of the Round.
Thanks, lads. Appreciate it.
Thanks, KB. We'll let you go, mate. Go well against the Highlanders. Oh, you should pump them.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Get over to Dunedin and pump them, Brad.
Thanks, boys. That's
what
we're going to do.
Nice.
All right, there you go, boys. Curtly Bill. Great for him to have a chat to us. Good mate of yours. And hopefully we see him in the gold again.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. I mean, if he keeps playing as well as he did on the weekend, why not?
Guys, it's now time for my favourite segment. You know what it is. Here it is.
Super Sizzler, brought to you by Beef Eater. Life tastes better outdoors.
That's right. It is time for the Superb Sizzler. Gents, you know how it works. You got to pick your sizzler from the weekend. Just a reminder, the weather is still cracking out there. Please go and buy a barbecue from Beef Eaters. Look at the great barbecue there. Look at the fridge. They're fantastic. Thanks to Appliances Online for providing this. What a great sponsor. They've been absolutely brilliant so far. And long may they continue.
Yes.
Long may they
Winning.
Continue. Who would like to do their sizzler first? Goiti, would you like to start us?
Would love to. Thank you for throwing to me. It's got to be Curtly Bill for me. I think, you know, been out of the game for so long. Obviously, you know, lots written about him, but he's just stayed quiet, did his job, went out there, played unbelievably well. And then also seeing Drew sent it to me, the clip from the Western Force where they presented him his cap. Thought that was pretty emotional and, you know, very special. And hopefully, you know, KB feels very welcome back into the rugby community and just keeps growing from here.
Do you know the only thing that's going to make his week better, Goit?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah. He doesn't have one. He's just moved to Perth. He needs one.
There you go.
Yeah. He left his beef eater in Tamarama, so.
How good. Beef eater to Curtly in Perth. Here's a question for you two. Did you both pick Curtly as well and he went first?
May have.
Yeah. I can pivot, though. I can pivot.
Give us a heavy pivot.
After a great performance from Sam Carter, he dropped the F-bomb in his post-game interview. That was an absolute sizzler. And he's just so nice, Sam Carter. He was hands up. Sorry, apologise. But if you haven't, go back and have a look at that.
Carter, beef eater, yeah. That's my question.
Yeah, give him one.
Give him one. That's two beef eaters. How'd you go? Can you pivot?
I'm going to have to pivot again.
Yeah.
Because we both enjoyed that, didn't yeah. we? Well, the third pivot.
did he take your second one?
He took my second.
I might, double pivot.
I might have to go a little outside the box here. Maybe to Simon Cron,
yeah.
The coach of the Western Force, who took us inside the change rooms to present Kirtley's first cap, a force number 258, I think it was. I thought that was great of the club to allow the spectator, the viewer, into the change rooms to witness a special moment for Kirtley and his family. And obviously, Kirtley said a couple of nice words and looked like he got a little emotional there too, which brought out a couple of tears.
Yeah, and just after that as well, the Western Force don't sing a team song. They just sing bangers. And they sang Sweet Caroline. So go back and watch that too. That's on the Western Force account.
That is a banger.
Yeah.
Sweet Caroline. Should we drop that in now?
Bump, bump, bump. We can't afford Sweet Caroline. We can't afford what I just sung just then.
Really?
I shouldn't have done
that. That was so off key.
Nailed it. Here's a question for you. Cronny, does he like to cook?
I reckon he does. And what are you going to ask me?
He's got a beef eater.
He doesn't have one.
Send him a beef eater.
Let's get him one. So we're sending a couple over to the West.
Yeah. Oh, good. Anyway, three. Cost less. Three to the West. This is great.
Three for the West.
It's going to cost less on freight.
Yeah.
Good thinking.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hey, what about this one? My sizzler, Hunter Paisami.
Oh, like it.
Tell me why, Prof.
Because one try, he won a penalty at the breakdown, and he did that little chip kick across for Vunivalu.
Yeah, that was
what
good.
A try.
Just over the outstretched hands. Yeah, that was a good one.
And I know we established last week that my opinion doesn't count for shit.
No, it does sometimes. No. Just not with rugby.
No, I think I said something like that, but it wasn't that it doesn't count.
Just has no weight.
Holds no weight.
Holds no weight. Okay. Yes. I think he should be in the Wallabies 15.
And you know who should have beef eaters? Barbecues.
Who?
Hunters.
Send him one.
Get it?
You like that?
three to WA, one to Queensland. Congratulations. That was a superb sizzler.
Hey, like it.
Gents, we move from the superb sizzler straight into, it's a brand new segment on this show, and I think we made a stinger during the week.
Did we?
Here it is. Have a look. That's right, it is.
Oh, that's a good sting.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah.
I hope it was, Hugo. NHLs, that's right, Northern Hemisphere Legends. It's us providing content for the North, so at some point we can do a tour up there and we can meet Holiday Swoop. Pissed up in the UK. hey, we have a real big treat. I should have teased this at the top of the show.
You're teasing
me now and I like it.
We about to join us is one of the all-time great English rugby union players. He might be there. Danny, are you there? Just so I can double check. Are you there, Danny? Danny's there. Yeah, hello.
What's your mate?
Yes. Now, Danny, what happens on this show? I don't know how much you've seen of this, but Tommy writes an intro. Sometimes they're lovely to the guest. Sometimes they're a little bit insulting. So his name's Tom Erskine, if you're trying to find him.
Perfect.
Here we go. Our guest this week, some have said, is the perfect mix of too much aftershave, hair gel, and half-naked thirst traps all rolled into a 5'9" rugby maestro. Okay, I think we know which way Tommy's going. This bloke at the age of 11 was accepted into the Sheffield Wednesday Football Academy. He was later told he was too small, so ironically, he became one of the best scrum halves in rugby, playing over 100 caps for England. However, this bloke didn't just make waves on the footy field. With his Yorkshire charm and slightly compressed James Bond-esque good looks, this man has also set the modelling world ablaze. So please welcome to the podcast our second favourite DC, as we are contractually obliged to say Dan Carter is our one and only. That's good we got that deal done. So try your hardest not to stop and stare as we bring in rugby union spunky Care Bear. Yes, of course, I'm talking about the little lad from Leeds, a true Harlequin hero and a man whose byes are jealous of his tries. It is the one and only Mr. Danny Care.
Hey.
Hey. What a welcome.
Yeah.
Boys, that's the nicest welcome I've ever had. I'm my mum's favourite DC, second favourite DC as well. She's a fan as well, to be fair.
Very good. Hey, Danny, thanks for joining us. Can you set the scene? What's the time? Where are you in your house right now?
We're 7:04 in the morning. One of the kids has woken up. Two of them still asleep, so we've got a bit of time. We just played Sale last night, so we're up in Manchester, and now I'm back to the day job, take the kids to school today, and then do my own podcast. But I'd love to be on your boys. I'm a big fan of your work. I think it's amazing what you boys are doing. And thanks for having me on.
Mate, don't just say your own podcast. Give it a plug.
Yeah. Oh, it's Rugby Union Weekly with the BBC. We've been going for about 5 or 6 years now. So, yeah, we're covering... It's obviously mainly rugby. Rugby's in the title, but we like to have a bit of a laugh at it as well. But we don't take it too seriously, but... That your boys pod, you're making waves. I'm loving this. So yeah, hopefully we can have some fun.
Absolutely. BBC, that's the second time that's come up today, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Bit of a theme for tonight's pod.
Not once is it big, okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Danny, yeah. We do a segment called NHLs, Northern Hemisphere Legends, just trying to cater to our friends north of the equator. As you said, you played Sale on the weekend. Unfortunately, Harlequins, you boys went down. What's the story, Danny? Can you tell us?
I don't know if you boys are watching much Premiership this year, but it's as tight as anything. So I think 10 points separate second and eighth. We've got 3 games left to try and get in the top 4 to get into the semi-finals. We took 2 points on the road, so you know we'll take that. But could have been, should have been maybe 5, but it's tight this year. We just got to try and stick in it, try and pick up points when you can, and try and get to the big dance in a month's time.
So what's the goal? Obviously, you want to win the Premiership. You're also in the semi-finals for the European, what's it called? Champions Cup now? Champions, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. What's the priority? What's the one that you'd really love to win if you had to pick one?
Oh, mate, obviously... In our wildest dreams, we probably never thought we'd be in this semi-final of the Champions Cup. So the lads went down to Bordeaux last week and, you know, one of the greatest games in the club's history. I was on a sunbed in Turkey, so I missed it.
Thought your hairline's looking pretty strong.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you. All this hair is my own. I have to let you know that all this hair is my own. It may have been enhanced in a certain way a couple of times, but I didn't get the lid done in Turkey. I didn't get the teeth done, as you can see. I chased kids around the pool for a week, but yeah, the boys did an unbelievable job. So we found ourselves in this unbelievable position where you're 2 games away from winning something that I probably never thought we'd have a chance of winning. You, a couple of your boys on the sofa, did it, you know, won that big pro trophy. It's massive over here. So for us to be in the semi-final, got to go play Toulouse, the best club team in Europe at the moment, to give it a crack. But we're just going to keep going on all fronts and try and get into some finals and see what happens. Like, just going to give it a go.
And mate, what's the mindset there? Because you said that you're in Turkey, and I think Joe Marler also sat out. There's a couple of guys that sat out in that one. So that was a quarter final. Why was it that you didn't play a full strength side, and will you in the semi-final?
Yeah, look, we you know what it's like. It's quite tough. We backed our squad, which is brilliant. We got a couple of young lads at scrum half and at Lucid that came in and had the games of their lives. They were brilliant. So it kind of all worked out well in the end. In hindsight, you know, if we'd have gone there, we'd have taken a loss. We'd have got a load of heat. But we backed the squad. I think from the Six Nations come back in, it's always quite tough. There's never really chances to get a break. The last end of the season is pretty relentless, and this old knee was a bit sore, needed a bit of a break. So we went for that weekend. Luckily, it worked out that the boys played an unbelievable game. I just happened to miss one of the best games in Harlequins history, so I'm the idiot.
Hey, Danny, let's change tax here for a sec. I don't know if you know this about Australians, but everybody's second favourite team is England. I think we can all agree. Gits, your second favourite team, England, Gits, is
sometimes
it?
Sometimes my favourite. Sometimes my favourite.
That's right. Sometimes. Mate, congratulations on the 100th cap for England during absolutely. The Six Nations. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Was it awesome to also defeat Ireland in that 100th cap?
I have to say, that comes across a lot from you boys, your love for England. you know, it's no joke. It was incredible. Obviously, I had a few years out in the wilderness, so you know, the dream was to try and get back in an England shirt. It's something that I've loved doing. I'm very passionate about playing for England. It means a lot to me. So when it's taken away from you, I think you sit out and you look at it and you're missing out. So to get back in was amazing. I owe an awful lot to Steve Borthwick and the coaches for giving me another opportunity to live the dream and wear that shirt. And we went to the World Cup, but then, to make the 100th cap, and it to beat Ireland on that day, you know, everyone's favourite team. For some reason that weekend, everyone did turn into an English fan. I think everyone's sick of seeing Ireland winning. So it was an incredible moment that I got to share with my best friends and all my family, and the kids came out with me, and something that I never thought would happen. So when it does, you know, it's one of those moments that I'll generally cherish forever.
Mate, you just said it was sort of taken away from you, and you know, you were out of that team for a while. Who took it away from you?
Here we go. It did take a while. Your mate, the Beaver.
Oh, did he?
No, one of those that I've been playing for a while. I think it's 2018. And we played against Japan and we had a bit of a loose performance. We still won the game, but there was about eight of us that went into this black hole that were never seen again after that game. The abyss, yeah. And it was one of those classic cases of a coach saying they really, you know, they want to be challenged. And if you have something, come and challenge them. And I was the idiot that challenged them.
But you know that's a trap. They never want to be challenged. Yeah,
I know. It wasn't seen for 3.5 years. But in a way, mate, not that I enjoyed it. Obviously, I hated that time of being out. But I do feel like, in a way, it was the best thing for me because it made me go back to my club and really, really crack on and try and prove people wrong and fight my way back in. And it took a while, but I managed to get there. So, I don't blame Eddie for that. We're mates now.
Yeah, but I think it was similar for, I don't know, for you, Drew, but it was definitely for me when I went to France. And you kind of took it for granted. Not that you should take it and select it for granted, but just being in that setup. And then when we got brought back after 4 or 5 years, the appreciation you have for every little moment and how much more you enjoy it, you know, it was a bit like I feel like I appreciate it way much more, even probably more than my first cap. Was that, you know, similar for you?
100%, mate. I think when you've had that feeling, you love it, but you don't, not that you take it for granted, but because you're in it and you're getting picked every week, you're playing for England, it kind of becomes a little bit normality. Whereas in reality, it's only a very, very few people get to do what we've done and get to represent their country. So I think when you come away from it, you realize how special it is, how much it means to you. And when you see people doing it and you think you'd like to still be doing it or you could be doing it, it hurts. So when you get back in, yeah, the last year I just said I'm just going to enjoy every moment because obviously I'm not getting any younger. I knew that this was probably going to be my last year in doing it. So just going to try and make every moment as special as I can and try and make a few people proud, try and say thank you to everyone that's kind of supported me along the way by showing them what it means to me to wear that shirt. So it made every moment way more special.
Yeah, you did that. And just, sorry, Swoop. You're up. Talking about England, what about the match payments? You guys are up there.
Yeah.
Number one, aren't they?
Oh, mate. The jam you get after.
Where is that? Yeah. Where is that now?
Decent bit of jam, lads. Decent bit of jam. You do get heavily compensated to play for England. So obviously that's not why I'm
That's what you missed in the 3.5 years.
Yeah. I'm
missed out on a little extension out the back or something.
I had a house to renovate, yeah. So now I'm flat broke, so I put all that in. So, the last year really did help with the had to put a nice little garden and barbecue set out the back, which is decent. But the boys do get compensated quite well to play for England, but we all play it for the love of the game.
What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, we play for the love as well, but the Australian match payments have gone down since we left. Like, it's getting less. Usually it's supposed to grow. Last I heard from England, it was up around 20K, was it? Pound per test?
Yeah, you boys could do with winning a game every now and then. A little bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep.
Okay, if I could just switch tacks here. If you could switch lives with one person or, you know, and have their body or whatever it is, who would you switch lives with one day?
Drew Mitchell.
Yeah, mate, you'd want this body.
remember we met in Cannes. We met in Cannes that night, didn't we? And Drew was like, you know, we're partying. And I was like, yeah, we're partying. He's like, no, we're really partying.
Yeah.
I was like, we'll give it a go. So we had a good go. But it's just the energy that guy brings. Like, just brings to the table. I'd love to just have a day of that. I'm like, I feel tired now, but I just need a bit. I need to be a bit more Drew, I think.
Yeah. But we'll have to revisit that. Maybe take two on the night out in Cairns and just really send it.
Please.
DC, you retired from international football. Quins, is this it? Is this your last year? You're the most capped Harlequins player, I think 370-odd caps. Outstanding effort, mate. Says a lot about you as a player and as a person. What's next? Is this your last year? Have you got a few more left in you? What's the future look like?
Yeah, I've just signed on again for one more with Quins. Nice. So,
we love one
I don't
more.
Feel like I'm... Yeah, one more. My last 4 years have been one more's, so it's quite fun. I've been doing my own contract as well at Quins the last 4 years because me and the guy that the money guy there, he's gone from like he was like an academy strength and conditioner to a stats man, and he's been there similar time to me. I think about 18 years, so it's quite funny doing it with him and just making up that I've got offers in France and Japan just to boost the deal a little bit. And it did work this year. So we've decided we got one more on the table, and yeah, I still feel like I'm enjoying it. I always said I'll never stop if I still feel like I'm enjoying it and I feel like I can help the team, and I still feel like I can do that. So I still love it. I want to play one more year and then
mate, I agree. I reckon retiring's a little like the pub, you know? Like, we're trying to leave the pub anyway.
Not maybe for normal people, but for you, you're 15 more. Then head back to mine. We're drinking in our hotel room. And then I'm spewing everywhere. Hey, Danny, I wanted to commend you on your TikTok work.
Here we go.
No. You and your missus during lockdown. Lots of dances?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I wouldn't have got through COVID without it, mate. So thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. I like to think we kind of cracked TikTok before TikTok was cool. You know, I was one of those guys. We did it. We didn't do it for the followers. You know, we missed out on that, but we had a bit of a laugh in it. Mate, we were so bored. We couldn't do anything. Obviously, over here, you've not got much space. So, yeah, we started dancing. And dancing led to a couple of other things, so I was happy. I wasn't great at it. The missus is a lot better than me, but yeah, we had some fun with it, and now it's caught on, so I'm a bit of a trendsetter.
What about Strictly? Would you do Strictly? Strictly Come Dancing?
I think that's it's a tough subject in this house.
Most blokes that go on there end up playing up.
She's not too keen. Yeah, she's not too keen. I think that says a lot about her lack of trust in me. But yeah, I think it's the correct decision to probably not go down that route.
Because it's come C-O-M-E, right? No, because I haven't seen it. Is that right? It's called something else here. Dancing with the Stars. I also want to ask you about your testimonial, because you talk about dancing and you obviously chose the world's greatest showman. I was watching this. Have you guys seen this? So Danny had his testimonial. Is that where you fill your pockets, Danny? What happens at your testimonial?
It was an opportunity to raise some money for some incredible charities.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No,
sorry.
Good answer. Oops. It is something they do really well in England. Like, if someone's had a storied career and they've given a lot to the club or to the country or both, or whatever it might be, they do a testimonial where people come in and basically it must just be really inflating your ego throughout that night, because they just say some great things over the course of Danny's career in this instance. But it's just a way to kind of really tip your hat and say thanks to someone who's given so much for a long period of time, and it's not just Danny in Danny's case would be his partner and his family as well, and extended family. It's just something they do to get around players really well in the UK.
Danny did this amazing opening, which was The Greatest Showman, and it was like a 3-minute song and dance. If you get a chance, go on YouTube, have a look, and then Danny comes out at the end and sort of in the last 15 seconds and has a little bit of a jig, bit of a dad dance, and then throws the hat. It was elaborate. Was that your idea, Danny?
Yeah, no, I'd like to think that I try and be a little bit different. And we had this idea of doing something a bit fun. And we got this amazing dance group in that they're incredible. They did everything. I just came out for 10 seconds at the end and threw a hat and pretended I was the greatest showman. But yeah, as Drew said, it's obviously. It's one of those, it probably shows that I'm so old now that my testimony was 4 years ago. You normally do it when you retire. But
well, you did say it's been one more for 4 years.
Yeah. Well, maybe enough time has passed, I can do a second one and just slip under the radar with another one. But yeah, it's obviously, you kind of get awarded it for, it almost shows loyalty that you've stayed at a club for a certain amount of time. And it's the first time, I think, in my career where you hear people say nice things about you, which is a bit strange. So, but everyone showed up, supported it massively. We had two dinners. I raised loads of money for some awesome charities and paid for my patio as well.
Yeah. Perfect. Now, Danny, we are conscious of time here. I do like to ask our international guests what it was like playing against the three blokes on this show with. Who was the most dynamic? Who were you nervous of going in? Who was the most lippy? Which one?
I mean, I played against peak these three. So these three were incredible. Like, without blowing too much smoke at their arse, these three.
No, you
three
can if you want.
Incredible rugby players, so skillful. Like, obviously, I think I'm only a couple years younger, but lads that I watched and go, wow, I like love the way these boys played. Love the freedom that they played with, how happy it looked, how much fun they looked like they were having. I'd have to give Adam, your dive is one of the nicest looking dives I've seen. Gets yours is close. Drew needs a bit of work, but Adam, the way you dived over the line was one of those. Well, I like to think of myself as a good diver for tries, but in you three, you've got three of the very best. You know, aesthetically looking when you go over the line, but obviously three world class players and even better blokes. So. Yeah, I'm delighted to be on this show, and it's great to see you boys doing so well.
You like to your dive? I'd describe it's quite low but darty, because in you don't get a great deal of height. You go long, swoop's quite powerful. Drew, you're generally streaks away from anyone, so you like to put it down, do the lawnmower.
No, I like to do the dive, but then get up, prop up real quickly. That was
you do like that.
Yeah, the little prop up afterwards, or maybe a bit of a knee slide. But yeah, I mean. When you're carrying guts like I am, you don't really want to jump too much.
Now, Danny, we are running out of time. We are conscious. We've got about 3 minutes with you here, don't we?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good.
So let's do real quick. We've got a type five here that we like to do with our guests. It's five real quick questions. You give quite quick answers, and then we hope that this is something that we can put on social media, get clicks, get sponsors, and we all survive. Let's start. Here we go. Question number one. Danny, can you please explain to us how you put down your amazing physique to cookies and saunas? And do you think nutritionists are full of shit?
Yes, I do. I believe everyone's different. Eat what makes you happy, what makes you feel good, and you'll feel good, play good, look good.
That's it. Very like good. It.
Question number two. In an impromptu video with friend of the show, James Haskell, you said that if you could be anything else, you would want to be an actor. Which actor would you be most like?
Oh, good one. Do you know what? Colin Farrell, I saw him. He's doing one at the moment called Sugar.
Sugar. Yeah, I'm watching that too.
Apple TV. Yeah, decent. And I just think me and him, like, we've got a lot of similarities. I think me and Colin would get on very well off the pitch as well. So
very good Colin answer. Farrell. Colin Farrell. Question number three. It has been well documented that one of the first things you pack on a trip is hair gel. How much would you spend per year on hair gel? And also, are you a firm hold or a mousse guy?
Very humble. I'm a very humble spender when it comes to this. It's VO5 matte clay. It costs me about £5 a pot. And it's probably lasts me a couple of months. So you're looking at five a year. You're looking at £25. That's all it is.
Wow. Very good answer.
He's all over it.
Question number four, from all accounts in the England squad, you have the voice of an angel. What is your go-to karaoke song?
Lean on me normally, but I went with my girl for the 100th cap, which went down a tree and actually dedicated it to the wife, which really helped.
Go on, Big Danny, give us one. Give us one.
I got sunshine.
Yes.
On a cloudy day. There we go, boys.
Oh, very good.
When it's cold outside.
I got the month of.
No.
Last question. You have done many underwear modeling shoots. Do you feel more comfortable in front of the camera, clothed or naked? Tommy wrote these. Tommy, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, naked all day. Same as the boys on the sofa. You got to get it out. Get the budgies on. Get it out. Give the people what they want.
Yeah. Hey, very good, Danny.
What are you saying? Just off that, Swoop did an underwear shoot once, and they wrapped it around with
tip top.
A piece of bread, wasn't it?
White bread. Yeah. Cut the crusts off. And two slices of tip top, and you mold it to your package, and that way it doesn't show any type of outlining of your piece through the jockeys. I did a shoot for Jockey years and years ago when the rig was in shape, but
obviously just didn't have enough package.
Yeah,
mate, you know the package.
You didn't have that, Danny.
Nah, I'm substantial down there. I actually have the package to build.
Very good. Hey, Danny.
Well answered.
Very good answers. Very good answers. And thank you for joining us. Just before you go, we had Joe Marler on the show. Obviously, a very good friend of yours. Is he the funniest bloke in rugby you've ever come across?
He's the most unique bloke in rugby I've ever come across, I think. Generally doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks about him, which I admire him for, because there's not many people like that. Like, he's got no airs and graces. He doesn't care. He's just himself, and he'll annoy people all the time. But yeah, he's a big softie at heart. I think that's one thing you need to know about Joe. But yeah, I love him. I love him to bits. He's one of those blokes that I've known him for 15, 16 years. We've been through an awful lot together. I know how much he struggled with stuff off the field. So, and to him to be kind of an ambassador for that, but also manage to do what he does and put his body through every day blows my mind. So, yeah, anyone says a bad word about Joe, I'm their enemy, because he's one of my best friends. He's a legend.
Well, mate, if you're that close, can you just buy him some Wi-Fi? He's currently got to go to the Shell to rip some of their Wi-Fi. Give him some Wi-Fi, mate.
He's tight. He's tight. That's why he's got so much cash. The rich just get richer, don't they? All those things.
Hey, very good. Danny, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck with the rest of the season.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, boys.
You win both. And we'll chat to you shortly. Thank you, Danny Kerr.
And we'll see you for round two, mate.
Yeah, we party.
There you go. Hey, one of the great gentlemen, Danny Kerr.
Yeah.
What an absolute legend.
What a gent.
And thank you so much for coming on, Danny. Tell us about the party you had with him. What were you
doing? Well, I actually forgotten about it, but now I've got a number of photos in my phone. I think it was Jamie Roberts was there as well. There's a few of the Harlequin boys were just down in Cairn and just absolutely turning one on.
Well, let's see if you can pop one up now. We'll see if you can find one. Yeah. Bit of pressure. Oh, no,
yeah,
we can't.
No, I can put a couple up. There's, you know, down in the south of France, there's scantily clad women dancing and all sorts of different things, but they're all covered.
Pretty liberal place, but we'll get the pixelator in and we'll fix all that up. Hey, I had to jump ahead because obviously Danny was jumping on for the NHL segment.
Yeah.
But something we need to touch on is the Superb Rugby W semi-finals.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, some amazing results. Drua, 25 defeat of the Force 14. They will head into the finals looking for a three-peat. Amazing, amazing.
What, who was it that streaked away? Was it Boona that streaked away for Fiji?
Yeah, Adelita Boona. She's double the speed of everybody else. It's like a cheat code.
That's right. It's almost like it was like I was watching it in fast forward.
Yeah. I mean, Gids talks about Gates. Beautiful guy. Oh, magic that running Gates. Style.
Hey, she's and gliding. Diving. Yeah. One of the great divers.
Mm. Yeah, you know who else can dive?
Who?
Swoop.
Swoop can dive.
Ask Denny.
So they go through. Then obviously the Waratahs, 47, defeated your Brumbies, Gets 27.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty close. They got it back to a single digit there. Like, I don't think the score really reflects the game. I thought the Brums fought pretty well. It was a big turnaround from the first time they played, you know, the Waratahs, but unfortunately they couldn't get it done.
Desiree Miller got a hat-trick. Which is very good from her. Maya Stewart
double.
Also, Kaylin House, the young 17-year-old fullback, she's just looking better and better every time she goes out and plays. So it's going to be tough for Joe Yap to pick a Wallaroos team moving forward.
Absolutely. And that's 2 p.m. next week at Ballymore. Waratahs v. Drew. Get your tickets. And absolute.
Why is that spots. At Ballymore?
Sorry?
Does anyone know why that's at Ballymore? Like, they're one's from Fiji, one's from Sydney, New South Wales.
Well, they had to lock in a venue before they knew who was in the final. But, I mean, obviously not ideal when no teams, no, like the Queenslanders aren't in it. But
well, they weren't even in the semis.
Yeah, well, like but I said, I think they just had to...
For the men's Super Rugby, isn't it the team that finishes first gets the home final?
Yes, that's right, yes.
True.
So why did they have to lock one in?
Well, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying why.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, well... I think it's wrong.
If you are the person that made that decision and you watch this podcast, please write in and explain why you made
please
that decision.
Explain.
Please explain.
I don't like it.
Hey, on that...
I don't like anything.
Good song. Mm. Pauline Pantsdown. What a tune. Hey, Women's Six Nations, while we are touching on the women's rugby, England 88 defeated Ireland 10. Wow. Swoop. You were all over this. 88-10.
Yeah, all over it. It was an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah.
You know, the women's...
Red Rose. More like the Red Room. The Game of Thrones.
Put an absolute clinic on. Almost felt sorry for the Irish girls.
Almost.
Yeah, but you know who knows more about the game than me, Prof?
That game?
That
yeah,
game?
Who?
That Tommy.
Yeah. Tommy Erskine?
He doesn't only do our intros.
Yeah.
He actually watches the... The women's
Six Nations,
and he had a lot of positive things.
Get him on,
Tommy. Get in here, mate.
Tommy,
Tommy's coming on. Another day when the air conditioning's not working. Great for Tommy.
We know Abby Dow had a killer, and Meg Jones, mate. Tell me more about it.
They've been quite dominant in the women's Six Nations, the English, and it was in front of a
88-10, no shit,
49,000 at Twickenham. So that's a pretty good little a crowd that they played in front of. You obviously were talking about John Mitchell being there. He was an old coach of yours, and he at the Force,
yep.
Yeah. And Brian Ashton yeah. has just come in and as his assistant. I believe he coached England, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got a ahead of their home World Cup. They've got a pretty good little thing going there. And also the Wallaroos on the women's game, they just signed a 6-year sponsorship deal with Cadbury. Oh, so
good.
Yeah. Chockies in there.
Sure, at me.
Thanks, guys.
Good. Tommy, very good.
See you next time.
Quick one.
Get out. Oh mate, you're back.
Drew, you remember John Mitchell, when we played the Brumbies, could have been 2009 maybe, Swoop. You blokes were getting ready for your Mad Monday, you're shopping throughout the week. But we were playing the Brums as the Force, and the Force were up 19-0 or something at halftime.
Mm.
And we've come into the sheds, and John Mitchell's just thrown his earpiece and his walkie-talkie, and he's told all the coaches, get out. He said, they don't want to listen to my game plan. They can just get out. You know, all the coaches out, these boys can, they know better, they can deal with it. And he walked out, didn't say anything. As soon as he left, we just got in our huddles, came up with a game plan, went out and beat the Brumbies. Then when we came in, he had the nerve to grab, he pulled me to the side, he said, mate, you can only pull that trick once or twice a year. What? Yeah. Anyway, we didn't speak to him. It was like, I think we ignored him. And then a week or so later, we sat down, had a coffee, and he said, oh, mate, I know you've got the shits. I said, yeah, because you abandoned us. Like, we needed help or some pointers, some advice. And because we weren't winning, it looked like you just walked away.
Could you imagine the lip on the Gweet, right? So yeah. Brumbies, we're 19-0 up after the half. We're thinking, we're going to schmit this in. They've clearly had a little bit of an episode in the change rooms, came out firing up, and so they just crawled their way back into the game. By the time they got to the lead, Gitz is just into me.
I was just saying, we're coming.
We're coming, mate.
Well, I didn't actually play that game. Remember, Goy, the captain's run the day before it started pouring with rain? And everyone got a bit, you know, like when you're at school and it's raining, everyone gets a bit wild and that?
Mm.
It was kind of like that in the warm-up game of touch, forwards versus backs. And I ran into Senator Pocock. And I did a syndesmosis, buggered my ankle. So I was in a moon boot for the next 6 weeks. I had to go, of all things, which I was most filthy about, I had to go dressed as Wonder Woman to Mad Monday with a moon boot on.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of works with the boots, though.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Those were the days, eh, lads? Those were the days. Yeah. Hey, we've got to call it there. That's the end of the show. Oh, have you got something else?
Yes? I've been told 15 minutes. Kirtley's ready.
Okay, right. Very good. So I think now in the edit, he will drop back into later in the show. So you might have already seen Kirtley. And if you have, hopefully it was a good interview. If you haven't, then look, I'm so confused.
Have I seen Kirtley yet?
You haven't seen Kirtley yet, but you're about to. And I think it was a really good interview. Maybe. Anyway, that was the show. At Kickoffs Kickons is where you follow us, everywhere except for YouTube, at Kickoffs and Kickons. Just a reminder, merch is available. Go to the link at the bottom here, Budgie Smuggler.
I think we'll also put it on our Instagram profile. So you can click a quick little link.
Click there. Always so wonderful to see you, gents. Goit, good luck in San Diego. The next time we talk to you, you will be across the pond, my friend.
I will be, yep. It's sad, but it's time.
Now,
and it's a lovely shirt, lovely Fireball shirt.
Wow.
Oh, it's funny you say that, Matthew, because new little segment, fire up.
So we like full transparency, full disclosure on this show.
Mark Gasnier's segment.
Gaz. We should get Gaz on. He'd love to be a part of this. So full disclosure, Fireball sent us a bunch of merch and a bunch of booze. We're going to do a shot here with the hope that they send us cash. Is everybody okay with that?
We're doing a shot via the Shotski. The Shotski.
So, Fireball, if you are watching or listening to this, we could do a segment called Fire Up. And each week, maybe it's Swoop telling somebody to fire up. Maybe he's making a phone call from the back of the cab.
Fire up.
Maybe not. All right, so basically, if you listen to this currently, we have... is this an alpine ski? What are we looking at here? Is that a freestyle aerial ski?
Yeah, it's certainly one built for more agility. Certainly no speed in that. But however, we need...
Yes, four blokes. So to finish the show... Sorry, Goit, you would be doing this, but to finish the show... It is a thanks to Olivia at Fireball who sent us all this stuff. Tommy's going to come in.
Thank you, Olivia.
We're each going to do a shot off the shot ski to finish the show. Fireball, thank you very much. We'll see you next week. All you're going to hear is slurping if you're listening, and you're going to see us gulping in the event you're watching. Thank you. Why don't you give us a cocoa after the shot?
Sure, okay, sure. Let's go.
Hang on a second. Hey, Drew, you want a fireball?
Fuck yeah, I'll have a fireball. I'll have a fireball with Swoop.
Nice spillage here, eh?
Oh, that is delicious. You know what? It tastes like Christmas. Cinnamon. That love it.
Hey, give us one.
Cuckoo! Oh, how good is my voice after fireball?
Yeah. I like your flow.
G'day, please, if you liked the show, well, show us you liked it by pressing like and subscribe so we can exist because we don't have any more money. We need your support. And make sure you check out our other videos.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.